That is Wilson Contreras right here on 93.7 WEEI. Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you can give us a call at 617-779-7937 or on the Odyssey app. You can press that microphone button, leave us a message, launch us a take grenade. We played around 5 o'clock, but we are in a strange spot with these Boston Red Sox. And I'll tell you what, it's a great spot to be in if you consider where this team was 3 weeks ago.
They lowered expectations so far. We'll take two games under, baby.
Real quick, before we get to our guests, you had an amazing stat, and that was that, June 14th, this team was 14...
June 24th.
June 24th, okay. And what was your stat? Was that
They were 14 games under. No team in baseball history has come back to make the playoffs that bad, that late in the year, since the 1914 Boston Braves. Mm-hmm. So, now Ted pointed out very astutely, they have three wildcard teams now. Things are a little different. So, mm-hmm. in the modern era, maybe that's not as impressive. But still, factually, it would be historic.
Absolutely. And, by the way, we were at the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. And a gentleman who is about as inside as it gets, one of our favorite insiders that we have here on the show, Bob Nightingale from USA Today joins us. And Bob, first of all, thanks for coming out with us. We really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
So Bob, as we were just saying, no one would have ever expected that this Red Sox team would be in this position right now where, God forbid, they're going to be buyers potentially. What are you hearing and what do you think this Red Sox team will do as the trade deadline approaches?
I think they will be buyers. The way they're playing, down the stretch, just that 16 game stretch, went nuts. Whether it went 14-2, that 9-0 road trip, it'd be crazy to sell. I mean, you're right there, and it's not like they're in the National League. They don't have to beat out the Dodgers or the Phillies or Atlanta. The American League's wide open. There's no super team out there, so all you gotta do is just get into the dance. And they could be playing the World Series.
Knowing Craig Breslow and the way that he operates and really the position he's in right now, where a couple of weeks ago, his job was in jeopardy and may still be, how do you think he is going to act coming up this trade deadline? And do you think they will be aggressive or is it going to kind of be some half measures as we've seen this team make in the past?
Probably more a half measure, but you can say that about a lot of teams. It's not like they're going in after Turks Kuba and, they don't need Robbie Ray or things like that. They're just not a whole lot out there. So that's why I say, there's no reason to be, real aggressive. All they can do is, stay healthy and stay the course, perhaps get, Crochet back, get Story playing better, that sort of thing. And you never know, but that thing's so wide open. I mean, there's what 23 teams within a playoff spot right now.
Who of the sellers? Who's an obvious seller, Bob? And like that would be as obviously they need a bat and probably a right-handed bat. What are the candidates out there? What teams should they even be thinking about? If you're a Sox fan, like, oh, this is an obvious team. We should check out their roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two big ones, of course, the San Francisco Giants and the New York Mets. Could they go after a Luis Arraez there? Jung Hoo Lee, the outfielder, do they want to spend that kind of money? Matt Chapman, do they really want to spend over $100 million to get him? And he does have a no trade clause, that sort of thing. I think Lindor could be available at some point. I just don't see them trading him now. Maybe the Mets trade him in the offseason. Otherwise, there's smaller candidates too, whether it's a Mickey Moniak, those type of guys, out of Colorado or a Jake McCarthy.
Hey, Bob, since the three wild card teams been implemented in 2022, is it just much harder to make a trade of any real significance at this time of year because it feels like everyone's in it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like 60 transactions last year at the deadline. But, it's a seller's market. I mean, people say, who's going to be the winner, winner, loser, the trade deadline? Well, the winner is going to be whoever sells because you're getting a lot more for your players than you normally would. Look at just a couple of years ago when Arizona Diamondbacks barely got in, Texas Rangers blew the division lead the last weekend. And those are the two teams in the World Series. Cleveland was dead and buried last year, in August, even sold. But, then they're in the playoffs. So it's wide open.
Chad Tracy, we've had a lot of discussions about the job that he's done so far, and I personally think that, you know, if you take a look at how this team did not fold and the team did not turn on each other and become apathetic, which many teams that are that far out will usually do, I give the manager credit. When you take a look at the job Chad Tracy's done, how would you measure his performance up to this point?
Well, I think he's done a very good job in the sense that, you know, when things were kept going bad, it looked like, you know, like you referenced to June 24th, they could easily quit and say, okay, we're done. Where are we going to be trading next? And for them to just, you know, have the belief that they can come back and do that, you know, that's a testament to Tracy. So yeah, I would think if they make the playoffs or certainly come close, I would think you might as well, you know, keep the job. Yeah, I really would. But took it to make the playoffs, you gotta hang on to them.
So, Bob, we had Buster only on a couple of, man, it was when things were at their worst. It was probably like 6 weeks ago, maybe. And he was saying that even when they were at their worst at that point, that ownership had been making calls trying to find a big bat. Have you heard anything about that? And how strange is that, that ownership would be going over the heads and making those phone calls?
Yeah, you don't hear that. I think when Buster reported that, you know, I haven't talked to Buster about it, but it was right after the owners' meetings. So the owners talk all the time, and they'll say, hey, what about a trade here? Just kind of play an armchair quarterback. You know, at those owners' meetings, as much as there's a big rivalry between the Yankees and Red Sox, those guys hang around the most, talking to each other, having some adult beverages, the Yankees and Red Sox, you know, front office and ownership. So it could have been something like that where, you know, owners are doing that. They'll do that, you know, among themselves. And then, of course, you know, go back to their own GM and say, hey, what do you think? You know, I talked to so-and-so, and he might be intrigued about something.
Bob, do you think it's inevitable that this labor dispute's going to end up in a lockout? And how do you think that impacts the trade deadline here for some teams? Are they more aggressive because of it or less aggressive?
Yeah, what I've heard from talking to GMs is just that they'll be less aggressive trading away young prospects. Say there is a salary cap. Those guys can be more valuable than ever because they're not making money, and you need those guys if you do need to slash payroll, that sort of thing. So just that those guys are more valuable. Otherwise, I don't think it would have much of an impact at all. And I really believe there'll be a season next year. We'll see if it's 162 games. But I do believe there'll still be, you know, at least 140 games played.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale. And Bob, are you hearing anything, any details about how the Red Sox just sent Roman Anthony down to Florida away from the team after his hand injury? Do you know any more details about that? And what does that mean to you that after all this time, they've said, you're going down to Florida, come back when you're better? Like, what do you read from all this?
I think just to get away with, you know, getting him away from answering questions all the time, people asking how you're doing, that sort of thing. And maybe just, you know, on his timetable and maybe more of a mental rest than anything else, you know, without being constantly asked about it, whether it's by reporters, coaches, his teammates, you know, that sort of thing. That's all. I mean, I saw him a lot in the, you know, WBC, and you know, that wasn't, I mean, it wasn't an issue at all. So I don't know what happened when he got back from the WC, you know, if his workouts compound the problem, you know, or something else. But yeah, maybe it might be more of a mental break than anything else.
This is strange. I have to admit, I mean, it's so weird because the injury isn't like anything I've seen before, and it seems like it's a pain tolerance thing. Have you heard anything more about, like, what it is and what they expect as far as when he comes back and what the attitude of management is about all of this happening?
No, I'm sure they got to look and say, okay, what do we do wrong here? Why is this taking so long? You know, was he swinging too much? And what were you guys doing here? So, and you see that. You're seeing that more and more times where, you know, teams are misdiagnosing something or just the wrong, you know, cure, what have you. So I think it's actually smart having him get away to Florida and just, you know, come back at his own timetable, make sure he's 100% without feeling pressure to, hey, I got to come back now to help this team on this valuable, got the big contract and everything else.
All right. Well, Bob Nightingale from USA Today, awesome having you on, and it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here. I know that none of us expected to be talking about this team possibly buying at the trade deadline, but nonetheless, it'll be interesting to see what Breslow does.
Yeah, no, it's wide open. Like I said, particularly American League, you get in the dance, you could be playing in late October.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Bob Nightingale. Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay. All right, thank you
guys.
So, Kent, who is Baseball Brett? Because you were texting me about this with Roman Anthony. I have no idea who this Baseball Brett. Do you know anything about this?
No clue.
Okay. Apparently, he was on Greg's show.
He's a friend of Greg's and friend of mine. I mean, we've hung out a few times, so I can say we're friendly. But Baseball Brett, best I can describe it, is he's just in the know. He's around the Red Sox. He is around the team. I don't want to blow his cover. He goes by Baseball Brett when he calls into the morning show, and he's a frequent contributor to Greg's show.
Jason Veritek.
He's not Jason Veritek.
Okay, all right.
He just is. He's around the Red Sox, so he's informed. He's briefed on a lot of things. I trust him. I know that he knows what he's talking about, and he made an appearance today where he said some interesting things about the Roman situation that I believe are a reflection, maybe not directly, but at least sort of directly, about how Roman is feeling about where things stand.
Okay.
So I think it's worth playing a little clip of it back here, because I think it says a lot. And
is his name really Brett, or is this someone using a fake name?
No, his name is Brett.
Okay.
He just the last name is not named to protect the innocent, sort of thing. You know?
Okay, but you trust that this person is extremely close to Roman Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, we were down in spring training, and Brett was there. He was at the facility, and he's around.
With the team. He was with the team.
I mean, not directly. He doesn't work for the team.
Okay, but he was on the other side of the rope. Like, he wasn't like a fan. Yes. He was like around the team. All right, well, that's interesting. And he called Greg and gave some inside info on Roman Anthony.
I hear what he says. This. Yeah, me too.
All right, well, Stiz, we got that. Can we play that when we get back? All right, 2 minutes. We'll be right back with that audio. Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. I'm intrigued by this next break because I had not heard anything about this person. I didn't know. And I apologize to Greg Hill that I did not hear that this morning.
Yep.
But apparently, there is a gentleman who is very close to the Red Sox and even more so close to Roman Anthony. He calls himself Baseball Brett. He called in this morning to Greg Hill's show, and Ken vouches for his authenticity and his proximity to Roman and the team.
He's not just a local joker who's calling up and like, I think this or I think that. He's got reasons.
There's some weight to his words.
Yes.
Okay. I like when players have somebody like this. Whether it be a family member.
They almost all do.
Yeah.
Have somebody like this.
Yeah. They do. It's somebody who will call a radio show to try to get their player's message out there without the player themselves doing it. So I put a lot of stock into stuff like this. So this is Baseball Brett. He had I guess he talked for a while this morning with Greg about the whole Roman Anthony situation, which is very odd. I think we all agree that what's going on with him, you know, being like just not getting better. Like nothing seems to be getting better. And the whole thing where they misdiagnosed him and then, you know, Roman got mad about that and the team had to correct themselves. And then Roman Anthony, you know, his report of when he was going to return or when he, you know, was going to move to the next level, that ends up, you know, going back and backsliding. And now he's been sent down to Florida in the middle of July. Because Breslow said there wasn't enough room in the training.
And more importantly, I think what is also coming out of this is that there's this narrative, Stiz, right, that Roman Anthony is a partier, that he has to be sent down there because he can't just, you know, sit at home in rehab, that he's always out and it's you know, that is part of the story, is that he's not taking his job serious because he's out all the time, and so you got to send him down there to get him away from all the distractions up here.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, whatever,
right or wrong,
whatever you believe, that's out there. Like, that is a storyline that is going on, and if, you know, you're Roman Anthony, and if you don't agree with that, obviously I would want someone to say something, but this is a little bit of Baseball Brett from this morning. I love calling him Baseball Brett. Baseball Brett.
He's
fake name.
He's got the shaded, like, picture on the Twitch. You
know? I mean, this guy's just more so it sounds like this.
But this is Baseball Brett calling. He's got to think of a better nerd name than that. That's really dorky. But he called in, and here's what he had to say about Roman Anthony.
Do you think they need to put an extension in the clubhouse so there's room for Roman Anthony?
Yeah, listen, there's so much talk going on right now about Roman Anthony and about the young kids and about the vibes. It's incredible to me, Curtis. It's incredible to me how quickly Boston turns and there's just listening to other shows and the diatribe going on around the city. It's crazy. And the fact that these people have a voice that are just casting aspersions on like young people's character that just isn't true is just, it's crazy to me. And then, you know, stuff picks up and the scope of what people are saying is just so inaccurate. It's crazy, but we don't have time for that. The fact that they sent Roman down to Fort Myers, you know, they did it last year when he got hurt too at the end of the season, to try to get ready, to try to ramp up for the playoffs. Him and Marcelo both got hurt at the end of the year, and they did the same thing last year. So I'm not quite sure why they did that, but
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he wanted everyone to know that Roman does not like the characterization that he's a partier.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't either, man.
Yeah, no, of course not. If I'm him, I would call my own baseball Brett and say, you call these radio stations.
Is that Jackson?
Hey, Jackson, you can be my baseball Brett. Yes.
Now, he said something later in this interview that makes me think, maybe there was something to it. We'll talk about it when we get to it, but just keep your ears open.
Okay, all right. So that's the first part of it is, hey, there's a lot of trash being talked about a guy I'm very close to, and it's none of it's right.
Right.
All right. So let's hear that. What does he talk about here? What's the next one?
Narrative-wise, what is incorrect?
When you say that someone goes out all the time and, you know, there's like, and Marcelo Meyer's a bad character influence on Roman and, you know, they're just only thing they're interested in is going out and partying. It's just not true in my opinion. It's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's accurate. I think Roman's a 22 when he got hurt. He was 21 years old. He's 22 now. He's a 22 year old kid with a ton of money, but all he wants to do is play baseball. He grew up playing baseball. That's literally all he's ever done. And then I bet you it's absolutely killing him not to be a part of this run of this season. Kid came in with MVP aspirations, right? He was getting votes for like preseason MVP. To be sitting out and not a part of playing baseball is just wild. No one wants to be sitting in a training room and going through the rehab process every single day and not playing baseball.
There's two things when I hear that clip that I think of is, first of all, it's got to be tough to be a young athlete and
make all that money.
And be like single. And like, if you go out to dinner and pick up a drink, someone's going to take a picture of it and say that, look at this guy getting loaded. Let's say, you know, you have a day off and, you know, your friend's having a birthday party at the Grand and you go to the Grand and you're hanging out. All of a sudden, look at how loaded this guy is. This guy's not taking his career he's not a professional. And that I understand. That part's got to be tough. But I also see the other side of it. When you have a situation like allegedly you had with Tyler Seguin, where according to reports, things that I had heard, that things got so bad that when they were on the road, there were people from the organization that had to wait outside his hotel room so that he wouldn't leave because it became such a, it really well, was a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, Roman's one of the two. Like, I don't believe he's as bad as Seguin was. I think we would know about it. But I also think it's wildly unfair that some people are drawing conclusions out of something that we really don't see much evidence of. I mean, the only thing I've heard is that there was a picture of him on Hanover Street. Okay, so maybe he's going out to dinner. Maybe he had a couple of drinks. Maybe it was a day off. We don't know.
That doesn't mean it's every single night he's going to Hanover
Exactly.
Street.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So
it's just walking the Freedom Trail. I mean, come on. Like us all.
Not much to do in Fort Myers.
I'm going to say this, though, for the record. The young guys that that come in, and this is everyone's watching and looking, and there's camera. You make a lot of money. I'm sorry. Don't go out. You say, you should be able to go out. You know what? You're making a lot of money. You can sacrifice. You can have your fun by not going to the Grand on a night when everyone's going to be there taking your picture. There's a lot of sacrifices you got to make when you're early in your career because of what people will do and say when they see you out. So you got to make sacrifices. You're going to make all that money, and you're going to be a big star. You can compromise going out sometimes because of what the perception would look like if you are going out. So
just get on those apps like Jackson does. You don't need to go out there.
Dude, I don't think it's this big sacrifice to just, you know, to kind of keep a low profile during the season when you're playing.
Let,
I don't.
Let me ask you this, Ted. When you were young and had money and you were with like a bunch of other guys who are young and had money for the first time, you know, that's got to be an exciting place to be. And you're athletes, so obviously, you know, women would want you guys. Would you opt to having like parties at like your own houses? Is that the way you would get around that?
Absolutely. You'd go to your house, or you'd go to the same places that you felt had your back. Right?
I mean, like bars that would have your back. Daisy Buchanan's.
Daisy Buchanan's. You knew that they weren't going to say anything. They weren't calling the, you know, the
inside track the girls.
Inside track girls. Thank you, Stiz. That they would never put any of that out there. And you just felt like you were always okay to go there.
Yeah.
And those are the places that you frequented. But yeah, a lot of times you would just have your fun inside and private at your own home.
That's one way to get around it, because that would drive me crazy. It would. If you were like young and all of a sudden you had money and you were single, mm-hmm. and you're like, and knew that you could go to any club and girls would be all over you, but knowing that you can't do that.
Right. Yeah.
And they just bought the new Lambos. He and Meyer had matching Lamborghinis they purchased. So you want to take those out, man.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But you know what? Take them out, you know, in the off season. You know, you can wait. You don't have to be doing it in the regular season.
It's a long season.
It makes sense.
I get it. But you know what? Summertime, they're making a lot of money, and they're sacrificing. Dude, Carl Lewis had an article. It was a great article. He said he lived his 20s and his 40s because he was so serious about to get his career going, that you sacrifice a lot early in your career, and you have your fun after. I mean, that's what I did. I had all my fun after I retired. and you see where that got me. But it's working with us now.
I
know. There you go. To me, it's not that big of a sacrifice asking these guys to kind of be diligent, stay out of the limelight, be disciplined in what you're doing, and while you're early in your career, because of you want to avoid all of this kind of stuff coming out. It's just not a good look.
When we come back, apparently, and this baseball Brett guy is pretty interesting.
He's good.
Apparently, and as I said, Ken, you vouch for how close he is to Roman Anthony and the organization. According to Stiz, The next and final question is the one that is the most eyebrow raising,
I think.
Okay, because I want to hear this, because I'm a big market tease. This is apparently one where you can draw a lot of conclusions about what's truly going on with Roman Anthony. We'll get to that right after this.
Watch your mouth for a war.
This was such a welcome treat after Metallica's Black Album came out. I was such a huge Metallica fan, and I remember I got the Black Album, and it was like mid-tempo. And I remember a friend of mine listened to it the day we bought it. We bought it the day it came out, and he threw the cassette out of the window.
Oh, come on.
And then all of a sudden, Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power came out. I was like, there we go. That's what we needed. And now I like the Black Album.
It was a banger.
It was just when you came off of Injustice for All and you came off of Master of Puppets, the Black Album was a massive step
down. Nothing Else Matters, Unforgiven?
Nothing Else Matters was fine, but it wasn't.
It was an anthem. Anthem of the time. Brought us into the 90s.
Now I like it. Now I do. But I remember at the time, too, being very disappointed. It was not near as heavy as it should have been. All right. Is Rich get a Ted
not
Johnson?
Not heavy enough.
Here.
That was my wedding song.
Was Nothing Else Matters your wedding song?
Request that was.
That would have been so great.
That would have been awesome.
Unforgiven. That was your
man.
Walk down the aisle.
My ex-wife. It was.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Seriously, man.
617. I guarantee it was somebody's. 617-779-7937. You can give us a call. This has been so wild. Guy named Baseball Brett, who thought I would be so into somebody who uses a fake name, but is, according to Ken, because he's met this guy.
He's a good dude, cool dude, very good looking dude. Might just throw that in.
It's weird. I mean, he doesn't want his last name out, but I don't know if his first name being out there is a good thing.
Might be able to deduce.
Yeah, sure. Maybe. But he legitimately is very close to Roman Anthony, close enough to where at spring training he was with the team. He doesn't work for the team, but he was with the team, and he was with Roman Anthony and continues to be so. And this morning, just for some reason, he felt the reason, maybe
someone told him to call in.
He's called in a few times before, so he's a regular on Greg's show.
Okay, so he is somebody who felt the need to call in and defend all of the slander on Roman Anthony lately, or maybe explain a few things.
And there's
things.
A lot of it going around, man.
It's weird. I'm not going to kill the guy because I don't know what's happening, but I'm also going to call out how strange all of this is. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen anything like this where the hand thing is strange in the first place, and then how he's there for a while, and then they waited several months to send him down. Like that's very odd. And then the excuse that Breslow used was there wasn't enough room in the training room, so they sent him to Florida. And then the way McAdam talked about it was it sounded punitive, as if he wasn't doing something right, whether that was going out or partying or just he wasn't doing the right rehab. It's all strange. And what we heard last break was Baseball Brett was basically saying he's not out partying or anything like that. This is a ridiculous thing that you're saying, or that is out there, and I'm here to dispel that rumor. But then he starts to talk about what's going on with him being sent down and him not getting back and everything going on with the organization. Stiz, I got to hear this because I've not heard this yet.
Yes,
so
this is a good question by my man Curtis, followed up. And, you know, basically, I think this is the way Roman must feel about how things could have been different if the organization had done things differently.
Okay.
But isn't your issue, Brett, more with the organization than it is with the media? Like, they did everything they could to throw him under a bus.
1,000%. The problem was after 30 games, Roman got hurt, and the roster construction was so poor going into the season, and they surrounded him with absolutely zero help at that point in the season, that they had to try to rush him back. He's a 21-year-old kid. They're trying to rush him back. Sam wants to sell tickets. Craig wants to save his job, because if he doesn't, he's going to get fired. So they're trying to rush the kid back. If they had just said what the Yankees said with Aaron Judge, he's out for 8 weeks. He's done for 8 weeks. When his rib is healed, he'll be back. The Pittsburgh Pirates, and no one cares about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Connor Griffin, the 21-year-old superstar phenom, who signed a deal just like Roman, hurt his finger, very similar to Roman. They said he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. They didn't say, hey, we're going to put his DL stint back to retroactive to when he got hurt, and we're going to try to, you know, get this thing going here in a few days. They automatically came out, Curtis, and they assessed the situation, and they said he's out for, if they had just said he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think this changes the narrative.
Wow, stop it. This is awesome.
Yeah, this
beautiful.
Is
beautiful. Like, this is awesome because I take, and we have talked about this before, when a family member calls in or says something, it's exactly what the player, like, really thinks. And in this case, now that I kind of get a feeling of the relationship this guy has with Roman Anthony, this is damning. And as a matter of fact, I hate to say it because I love it when people talk. I love it when like, you know, people tell tales out of school. This ain't helping Roman Anthony at all.
I think it does, though. I actually take his side when I hear it that way. It's a fact that, first of all, the roster construction was poor, and they put too much on Roman Anthony's shoulders, right? Offensively,
He had zero help.
Zero help. And it's a fact they tried to rush him back, right? Or at least they framed it poorly.
Put him on the 10-day DL.
And it's a fact that Sam Kennedy, who apologized for the way he described the injury, said it wasn't a tear.
That's right.
A tear. Right.
But he's also
underplayed it big time.
But the thing is, though, is there's shrapnel everywhere, and at one point, he's killing the roster. Like, his teammates. Like, they didn't put a good enough roster around him?
Well, this is not Roman saying this. This is Baseball Brett.
This, in my opinion, is the voice of Roman Anthony through somebody else. If he's as close as everyone's saying he is, then this is obviously what Roman Anthony thinks.
No, and that's the truth. He's telling it as it is.
No, that is the one part where he's not helping. You can't you can kill management. You can kill all those guys. You cannot kill your teammates.
I feel like, though, that is there. Certainly, I hear what you're saying, but it's the other stuff that I think is the more dominant. Like, you know, rushing the kid back, or Sam wants to sell tickets, or using the Connor Griffin example as a kind of an example of why the Red Sox should have maybe, you know, came out and just said, hey, he'll be gone for 8 to 10 weeks, blah, blah, blah. So to me, that's the bigger message. But I hear what you're saying. If I'm a player on this team and I hear he had zero help and it was all him.
Look at the numbers. Look at the historical bad nature of the offense. Like, everybody knows they suck. The offense sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think comments like this might be why Chad Tracy wanted to get him out of there. Maybe the teammates don't like him around. This does not sound like something a good teammate would say.
Roman's saying, yeah, you've hurt my relationship with my teammates because of the way you handled it, front office. Like, this is part of his beef as well. You know?
Don't rip on the roster, man. Like, that's the one part of that I was like, whoa, there's no coming back.
But there's a lot of woe is me, you know, if we're being honest. You know, it feels as if he's kind of.
He's got a beef, though. I think he's got a beef.
Yeah, he does. Do you want it to come out through this?
But back to Brett's original point, he's getting crushed. The longer he's out, like, he's just dangling and just getting, he's like a pinata, right, for the media, and probably the fans are starting to turn on him. So he's like, I got to say something. I mean, you can just
your own words then. Like, don't go through a
friend. He did sort of with Bradford, and he sat down with Rob.
Or get better, come back, and play well. You just suck it up. Dude, it's going to suck for a while until you're back and you're not down in Fort Myers and you're back in this lineup. It's just going to suck. You know what? Stop reading the comments. Stop listening to what people are saying.
What if you tear a vocal cord and you're like, I don't want to come back till I can sound like Rich Shurtleff? You know, it's like, it's not that easy. Like, you want it to heal and become back and be you.
I would know that I can't come back if I can't speak. So I would know what I would say. I would unplug and I'd be like, there's nothing I can do about what people think.
Would you be dry talking, trying to get better?
The dry swings. I'd be doing this.
But here's the thing with Roman. He's already got his money. He's not up for a big contract. Like, what is he right now?
Right, that's part of it.
Coming back now, like, so what if he re-injures it? He's already getting his money. So,
but I think that's what he's saying. Like, this is a long-term thing. Like, you shouldn't rush me back. Why are you rushing me back? Just because your job's on the line. You shouldn't jeopardize my future. You know, we're together for 10 years. Like, I'm not going anywhere. We got a bright future ahead.
Let me hear the rest of this, okay? I'm sorry I had to stop it there because it was so much. I mean, it really is. Yeah. That's a crazy, crazy comment. Because as I said, I believe this is, like, from Roman Anthony. This is what he thinks. Because this is apparently his guy. Let's take a listen. Look for the rest.
I think this changes the narrative. And I think the same thing's going on with Garrett Crochet, where they came in and they said, Garrett Crochet is out for however long, right? And no one cares that Garrett Crochet is going out and doing Sam Adams, like, he's doing a tour of bars tonight with Sam Adams.
Crapping on Crochet!
No one's saying anything about that. Yeah. Right?
Because he's achieved more in his career than Roman Anthony. He's actually done stuff at the big... I mean, I'm sorry, Garrett Crochet is in a different spot than Roman Anthony, and if the organization is willing to say these things, it means there is at least a small amount of credibility to the concerns about what he's doing off the field. Like, you can't tell me that the clubhouse is too small to have Roman Anthony in it, and that's why he's in Fort Myers.
Yeah, no one believes.
That may be true. It is what it is, Curtis, on that one. But I think the roster construction was so poor going into the year that they panicked and they tried to rush him back. And I think you saw that. If they had just said from the start, I think it was just a poor handling from the Red Sox organization, where if they had just said from the start what the injury was or diagnosed it properly, then none of this would be going on. Mm.
Baseball, Brett from the top row. Hey.
Great job, seriously. Brett. Awesome job, Brett.
I mean, he did come down on Garrett Crochet there. I mean, you're going after your biggest star. It's not fair for me to say that that's Roman Anthony's correct words. But from the way that this relationship is described, it sure as hell sounds like this is most likely how he feels.
Well, you remember
this
how
guy
when
can do bar crawls and I can't?
You remember when Brady Sr. spoke on behalf of Tom?
Damn right.
Okay,
damn right.
Said that's not Tom speaking, that's his father. But sometimes the people around you get more hot than you do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
On your behalf, they're trying to protect you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Tom said, you know, of course he lied through his teeth when he said, you know, my dad doesn't, whatever my dad say, that's his own words. That doesn't,
but, damn okay, right.
Sure.
Damn
sure.
Right.
Look, I'm with you. And to me, this is really a peek into how Roman Anthony thinks. And it's, I think, very revealing. Because he's basically saying all the stuff that we've been saying. That's what he thinks. We think he's thinking, but never said it. But now he's saying it through his friend, and I understand why he would say it.
Yeah, I think that he is not this. He's not doing himself any favors with this. And you know what sucks? And it's got to be awful to be in a spot that he's in right now, where he probably really wants to play. He probably still has the pain. I just think, and Ted, this is something that you would know more about than anything. Aren't there just times where you just have to turn off the noise, suck it up, get better, and get back in there?
That's it. Dude, it's hard to take the high road because so much pressure has been put on him, but I think he'd be better suited just sucking it up, taking his medicine. You know, the truth eventually will come out, and people are going to, I think, be on your side if you just take the high road and not say anything. I think that would have been better. He would have been better if that's, and he isn't saying anything. It's his friend saying it. But.
Sure, sure. So take that with a grain of salt.
And by the way, Brett just texted me. He said, "This is only my opinion." Capitals.
Yep, no doubt.
NY.
No doubt.
Oh,
no
that's
doubt.
Baseball. Brett. He texted.
Baseball. Brett. Just
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Baseball. Brett. Give us a call,
I feel
buddy.
Bad. I don't want baseball.
He said
Brett.
His piece.
I feel bad just saying this is what Roman Anthony, but it's a natural link to think that that's how Roman thinks.
Well, once it, like Greg Bedard getting a call from the Patriots, right, allegedly, right. I will report what Baseball Brett says. Right.
He's got a phone, like a red phone, just the way Bedard does.
No, but I like Baseball Brett. As I said, I'm a big fan of people like that. I like when people talk. That's good stuff. That is great. Thank you to Greg. for being friends with Baseball Brett, because I thought that was a fantastic call. Good job, Brett. You keep calling. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Teddy J song here.
Well, this has become Bradford's intro song, so now I feel like Bradford's online. You know
this boogie. That's a good one. It is 93.7 WEI, Rich, Ken, and Ted. Ted and I were just having a funny conversation off the air about how sometimes one comment can just make you do something completely drastic.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to, like looks or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a time where somebody said something about, like, a pocket that was under my neck, and I went immediately lost, like, 40 pounds.
Yep.
I got a
hot babe who said it or what?
Well, there was one time where I heard somebody make a comment. They made it, like, a joke about how my legs went straight into the back of my body. And to this day, I do an exercise 3 times a week where I put a weight on my stomach and I thrust my stomach up like this because I want my ass to not look like a stick.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
But you're a radio host. You realize that.
I know that, but yeah, I'm also a human being.
But that comment stung, man.
I've come to accept. I'm just an ugly man and it's fine.
You can
say what you will.
That day, I Googled butt exercises.
Really good ones, man.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, I'll help you out. That thing will be like you'll have the high ass like sprinters.
Oh, really? What are they called? Tabletops?
Tabletops. We'll be able to put glasses on that, man. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
Crack some walnuts at Instagram series there.
Yeah.
I guess, but it is wild. Like someone could just say one thing and you'll just go off on just this massive tangent. Yeah. Or like one picture where you just look, something looks off and awful.
And the person that said that, I mean, it's like, I hope she sees me now. I hope she sees what I got fixed, you know?
Oh, well, there we go. Oh, by the way, I do want to quickly mention something before we get back to sports. And Stiz and I actually went somewhere last night. And I don't throw these out lightly, but I do want to throw out a recommendation. So I went to something yesterday that I had no idea how this was going to be. But there is right now I think it's at the Emerson Colonial Theater. We got invited to this, and I'm like, sure, this sounds like something to do. But there is that theater right now is doing something called Paranormal Activity. You know that movie, Paranormal Activity?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, pretty scary movie. The first time it came out, the first one was good. I know there's been like 7, and I don't know how the rest of them are, but the first one was good. And that was, you know, the movie where they put the hidden cameras in the house, and you can see ghosts and stuff moving around. Well, apparently they were doing like a live version of Paranormal Activity, so I had no idea what this was. So I went to this thing last night, and Stiz was there too, and dude, it was awesome. I had no idea what to expect, but this was a show. Like, you go in, you're in the theater, full house last night, and the set is like nothing I've ever seen. The set is a two-story house, the inside of a two-story house. Like, upstairs is the bedroom, there's like a nursery, and then there's a shower, and the downstairs is the living room and everything. And it's an entire show that I think there's like a cast of like two, it's like 4 people total. And it's a couple that moves into this new house. And it is, I think I audibly swore at one point of it. It freaked me out so bad.
I think everyone did.
Were you sitting next to Stiz? I'm having a hard time visualizing you two together.
No, I would have, but you know, they put Stiz in a different section and I was in a different section as well. But I mean, it is a horror movie live on stage mixed with a haunted house. And the sound and stuff like jumps out of nowhere. There are special effects for some of the crazy, and I don't want to spoil anything, but some of the crazy special effects they have in this are so effing great and scary.
Better than Blue Man Group?
I like Blue Man Group. I really do. Awesome. No, this is, as a horror fan, if there are any horror fans out there, and first of all, thank you to the people at the Colonial for inviting us.
Yeah.
Because I saw this being advertised and I was like, oh, this would be great. And I kind of forgot. But as a horror fan, you have to check this out because this is an experience unlike any I've ever experienced. It was literally like having a horror movie performed right in front of your face live.
And this is a prelude to maybe going on Broadway?
Yeah, it is. Matter of fact, they do this a lot in Boston. They'll take something that's about to go on Broadway and they'll do several weeks here to kind of get all the kinks out and just to see how it does in a smaller house. And yes, it's actually lined up. And I think it started in London. It's been in Chicago and now it's here. And it's set to go there, but it is awesome because it's like seeing a horror movie, but when it's right in front of you, it's visceral. Mm. It's almost like watching a fight on television and then being at a fight and seeing it happening right in front of you.
It's more impressive to see it in that setting because there's no editing. It's all like what you see is like happening at real time.
There are jump scares. There's a ton and it's loud. That's another thing I'll tell you. I mean, it's really loud. And there was one kind of funny thing is when you show up, you know, there's music playing as you sit down, and it's kind of like, this isn't your dad's theater, because it's like Nine Inch Nails closer, you know, and like Black Hole Sun, but it's great. And as I said, I would have no idea about this if we wouldn't have gotten offered this, but it's I think here for another 2 weeks. It's down at the Emerson Colonial, and it is like nothing you've ever seen before. It's scary as hell, and it's a great time. It's an awesome date night. Like, if you're going to go on a date, it is a ultimate date
Jackson,
night.
There you go.
Okay. There you go, Jackson.
Seal the deal, Jackson.
You know, go.
KinkyKevin.com.
That's right. Go to your kink website, the one
that
you've got there.
I love about Rich.
I don't know if that would fly there.
I don't know if that would fly.
Getting to know Rich, he's like, you wear black every day.
Pretty
much. You listen to Gojira, and then you're a theater guy. There's just like odd like left turns.
I'm not really
like,
a theater guy.
Well, you've gone to Les Mis, and now you've gone to a theater show with Stiz.
Well, the Les Mis one I legit like, and that's just because I grew up in a house where, like, so we were pretty poor, but I remember like my mom and dad got invited to go see like a classy play one time when it was Les Miserables when I was a kid, and they loved it so much. I remember they bought like the soundtrack, and they would play it like every Saturday and Sunday morning. Really liking the music. I never heard anything like it before. So yeah, so all of a sudden I became a big fan of, I'm not a fan of like a ton of plays, but Les Mis is just one of those that...
I think all five of us have an inner nerd that we embrace. Mm-hmm. Okay. All five of us, I think.
Well, most of us admit that. Rich rarely does, but now
no,
he does.
No. Good music's good music. Like, I don't care. I'll listen to anything as long as I like it. And for some reason, Les Miserables is just like it's amazing. It's
fantastic. Tonight's the big night for Ken, isn't it?
6:15 Odyssey.
Oh, Odyssey. Yeah, yeah.
Please text the group as soon as you get out, please.
No, I don't want to spoil anything for you guys.
I need a review out of 10
okay,
or
right,
something.
Dude, we need a review.
Yeah, I'll do that. But it is not IMAX, so okay. I did feel better because Christopher Nolan said they painstakingly transferred it from IMAX to the regular screens, but I don't know if that... I imagine if you see it in IMAX, it's got to be a special.
Maybe a little better, but you're still going
to
get it.
Sure.
I'm dying to see Leonardo da Vinci's performance.
That's what Stiz called it yesterday.
I don't think I've seen more hype for a movie ever. I've never seen this much hype.
And it seems legit.
It's all legit.
Like now everyone's saying, you know, just how unbelievable it is. It's like 98% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. And by the way, somebody is saying Gojira, you mentioned that, is the best Olympic opening ever. France had the best Olympic opening by far. That was when the woman had the decapitated head and started singing and then the flames and stuff came up. Yes, I am a fan of Gojira. All right. Well, there you go. There's your sports break. I do want a review of the Odyssey tomorrow, though.
You get that? Yep.
I am seeing it this weekend, but I, too, am not seeing it on a big screen. I have to
Can I go with Bird? I mean, can I get Bird with me? I mean,
hell yeah. You want to go with, well, I can't do it now, probably. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could try. I could see if he'll meet you. I don't know what Bird's up to right now, but I'll check. All right. 617-779-7937. We're going to have later on, actually in about 30 minutes, we're going to have Matt Turner from your New England Revolution to kind of preview what's going on here in the final. On top of that, the ratings for yesterday's England Argentina game worldwide, it will make your head spin.
Well, I have a couple questions for Matt. One, did England really blow it? Like, is there some, like, X's and O's reason that they blew, you know, sat back too much, or what would he have done? Also, he was in the World Cup, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you had a question, I think, that is a good one that you wanted to ask him. It's like a goalie-specific question.
Oh, yeah. It's the challenge. It's people who, like, think that they can be, you know, I've been watching the World Cup, and there's a poll that came out that 28% of the people watching the World Cup think they could score on a World Cup goalie. Because, like, you see these shootouts, and it just seems like it's a 50-50 chance. Like, he's going to jump one way or he's going to jump the other way. We'll have Matt Turner, you know.
Set us straight.
A definite answer with that. All right, but when we get back, there is somebody who still hates Drake May. And now it seems there's a lot of people that hate Drake May, but this guy was the loudest at the end of the season. Unfortunately,
he was kind of proven right in the playoffs.
Well, Ted went toe-to-toe with this guy on Radio Row as well.
I want to hear his take on this, because it seems like the Drake May preseason smear campaign is in full effect. We're not going anywhere. We're back in 2 minutes.